Everyone else, if you would, open your Bible. I forgot my microphone, didn't I? That's what happens when I get wet. Okay. Green, okay. Oh, that's good. Yeah. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, everybody. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Our mission at Rileyville Baptist Church is what? To help people in the valley say yes to Jesus. Yeah. Every person that went through the baptismal pool today, that's what they were doing. They were showing you that they had said yes to Jesus. We will eventually, right, Kristen? We will eventually get some shirts made for people that get baptized that say, I said yes to Jesus, okay? If you just got baptized, you will get one of those shirts later, but that would be very appropriate. All of these people have said yes to Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and I love hearing the testimonies that people give as they go through the baptismal waters. And one of the things that is just so cool is to see how other people have been used in their lives to help them come to the place where they've said yes to Jesus. And you just heard that one after another. It was someone invited me to church. Someone invited me to Fuge Camp. Someone kept investing in me. They didn't give up on me. And here's the thing that just blows me away. And don't let it be just something that goes in one ear and out the other. God wants to use you to help other people follow Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Like the God that knows that that bird that just hit the window over there. He knew that bird was going to hit the window. You know, the God that knows every hair that's on your head, the God who doesn't need us, right? He is sovereign over the creation. He said, I want to use you. Wow. That's amazing that he would want to use us. I just think of all people, God, you want to use me. I want to talk a little bit today about our church, and a little bit about vision, the vision of our church. I want to reflect just for a moment about last year in our church. Last year, we focused as a church, being a church on mission. We wanted to recognize that God can use us. God can use anybody. And we want to be on mission. We want to be an everyday missionary. You know, we can be a missionary that goes overseas and crosses a culture to bring the gospel into a place. But what about crossing the street, right? What about crossing over the hall at your workplace? We want to be an everyday missionary. If you look in your bulletin, there's this little prayer of an everyday missionary. An everyday missionary says, hey, God, would you give me today an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus? Would you give me the wisdom to see it? And would you give me the boldness to take it? That's a good prayer. Get up every morning and say, God, give me an opportunity. Give me the wisdom to see it, the boldness to take it. We've wanted to be a church on mission. One of the ways we did that was through Adopt a School. By God's grace, we were able to adopt Luray Middle School and have tried to do everything we can to show the school, we love you and we are praying for you. And so we did some projects. You know, we did a landscaping project. You can see it here with the folks that helped. We also did a teacher breakfast, and all of you together, you gave electric pencil sharpeners to every single teacher. Your electric pencil sharpeners, I think I've heard they're all still running, okay? That's because we didn't buy the cheap ones, you know what I mean? And amen, I like that. And you can see them all, they're in those bags right there, and we served breakfast and told them we love them, that we'll be praying for them this year. We were constantly touching people in that school, teacher appreciation, $20 Walmart gift cards to every teacher, writing them notes and cards, countless touches, care touches by Sue and other men and women in our church all throughout the year, to bus drivers walking onto a bus going, here's some bread. You know, we just want to tell you we love you. We appreciate what you're doing. We're praying for you. We also taught last year, we taught you the three circles. Do you remember that? the three circles. I had this big board up here, and we talked about how you can share your faith using this three circles. I've done that 100 or more times, written on a napkin and shared my faith with somebody using these circles. Such a great way to share your faith. And I kept hearing story after story from you guys about opportunities that you had that you took with a coworker, with a friend. Some of you even threw Christmas parties at Christmas time, and you had your neighbors in your house. Some of you even sung carols with them and told them your testimony and stuff, which is awesome. Invited them to church. God wants to use you, and I think he did. He used a lot of us last year as we got outside of our comfort zone. So what about this year? This is a new year. We still have the same mission statement. We're still passionate about helping people say yes to Jesus in the valley. But you know what else we're passionate about? We want to see people grow, right? You know, the Christian life is a journey. And I think I heard Frank say that. He talked about the journey of the Christian life. And through this journey, we want to grow. We don't want to stay stagnant. And we want to help people grow. We want to get the gospel out to people and see God change their lives. That's what we want to see happen. We want to have stories to tell about life change. And let me ask you something. What is God going to use to change your life over this fall coming up, going into the spring? What's he going to use? He can use a lot of things. As I've read the Bible, one of the main things that he likes to use is other people, all right? And over the course of the next year, this is going to be a slogan that we're going to use for the whole year. The slogan is this: life is better together. Life is better together. That's the way God's made it. He's made us to sharpen one another. That's how you grow in the Christian life. Not by living the Christian life by yourself, but with others. And Lord willing, we're going to grow together in this, including me. I need to grow too. And so this morning, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to look in verse 12. You can turn me up just a little bit, and I'm going to pull this thing out of my mouth, okay? All right. Verse 12 says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." Now I want you to skip to verse 21. "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, if you'll bow with me. Heavenly Father, we praise you that we have gotten to see. You've pulled back the curtain a bit into a few people's lives and showed us what you're doing behind the scenes. And we thank you for that. We thank you that you're at work in this church, and it's not because of anyone and what they've done, but it's because by your grace you have worked and you have acted for your name's sake to bring you glory. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we ask, as we open this text and as we get into this new series, that you would open our hearts and our lives, Lord. And you would help us to see your vision for our life. In Christ's name, amen. I don't know about you, but I am an introvert, okay? I am an introvert. I've talked to you about this before. There's a difference between introverts and extroverts. An extrovert is somebody that likes to be around people. And when they have to sit home on a Friday night, it makes them really sad, you know? They're not around people. And an introvert is very different. Actually, being around people exhausts them. And they need to recharge by going to be alone, all right? And I am that way. I've learned that about myself. I am that way. Sometimes in the course of a day, I may have 20 different conversations with people, and they're not all about, well, it sure was rainy today. No, it's about heavy things that are heavy on their heart and then become heavy on my heart. And at the end of the day, I go home and I just want to fall down. And my poor wife, who wants to talk to me because she hasn't seen me all day, I just get exhausted. I get exhausted being around people sometimes, and I need to recharge. So when someone says to me, hey, Dan, you should have somebody over for dinner. Or, hey, Dan, you need to have more people in your life. I'm thinking, I think I'd rather have a root canal, maybe. Or I think I have a colonoscopy scheduled. I'm sorry, I'll have to pass on that. And you say, well, you're not even old enough for a colonoscopy. Well, I think I'm just going to do one for fun, you know, instead of hanging out, you know. And so I can kind of be that way. And I found that introverted people, they pride themselves in being independent. Being independent and saying things like, I don't need you, really. I'm fine. I'm doing fine. You know, I don't need your counsel or your wisdom. I think I got this one figured out. I can find myself doing that. And I have a feeling that I'm not alone in that. And that some of you feel the same way. You can be independent, but that's not God's vision for our lives, is it? Amen? It is not. In Genesis chapter 2, God made everything that existed, and he looked at it all and he said, that's very good. That's very good. And then he said, there's this one thing that's not good, right? And then the Lord God said, verse 18, it is not good for a man to be alone. Now you say, well, that's talking about marriage. Well, yeah, in the context, it's talking about marriage. But here's the thing. A lot of married people still feel very lonely. Still don't really have any biblical friends in their life. And some single people have deep friendships and deep relationships, right? It's not just about marriage. So what I'm saying is independence is not good. It's not good to be independent. God doesn't want us to be independent. Well, guess what? Dependence is not good. You know, if you're that kind of person that's like, I've always got to have a boyfriend, or if I've always got to have a girlfriend, or I always got to have somebody around me, or you're like, I really need my mom's approval, and you're like, you're 40 years old. Why do you need your mom's approval? Because you're dependent. It's not good to be dependent on others, is it? We learned in Galatians that it says that we should bear one another's burdens. You remember that? But then it said, each will have to carry his own load. Remember, I was wearing a backpack up here? I said, everybody got their backpack. You got to carry, that's yours. We can't be dependent on people. So not independent, not dependent. What's God's will for our life? Be interdependent, which means you need me and I need you. You need me and I need you. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 21, it says that one member of the body of Christ, which is talking about the church, cannot say to another one, I don't need you. It says an eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Can you just imagine this? Listen to the illustration. The eye is talking to the hand. It's kind of weird, right? What's the eye saying? The eye's saying, I see everything. It's a beautiful world. I see the beauty and the majesty of the world. What do you see, hand? You don't see anything. And the hand can say to the eye and say, well, I can pick things up. I can touch things. I can write. All right? I got skills. I got abilities. I don't need you. And this text is saying no one person in the body of Christ can say to the other one, I don't need you. All right. Since I forgot my mic and I have to hold this mic, this is going to make my next illustration very hard. All right. Let's see. Dave, can I get your help? All right. Stand up, Dave, just for a second. All right, Dave, I want you to take that ball, and I picked a softball for a reason. You will see. And I want to use my eyes just to catch that ball, okay? So I just want you to throw that ball just right at my chest, not at my face, just right at my chest. I just use my eyes. I have seen Star Wars, and I've seen them move things just looking at them, and I was not able to do that. Okay, so I'm trusting you, Dave. Don't peg me in the face, okay? I'm going to close my eyes, and I'm going to catch that ball, all right? All right. Did you see how I caught that ball? Yeah. Yeah, with my eyes and my hands. That's the point of the illustration, guys. You need your eyes and your hands to catch the ball. And we need each other in life, don't we? The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. Hand can't say to the eye, I don't need you. We all have gifts. And just two really fast points here today. You need other Christians. That's the first point. You need other Christians. It says in verse 25, so there be no division in the body. There's no division in the body where people say, look at me, look at my skills. I really have something to offer. That includes pastors. You know, that's pride. It says that we may have the same care for one another. We can all care for one another. Other Christians have gifts, and other Christians have insights that we desperately need. And if we do not have them, we will get pegged with a ball in the face repeatedly. That's what our life will look like. We need them desperately. Look in Proverbs, I think this is on the screen. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm. My pastor growing up would always say to me, he'd say, Dan, who you will be in the next 5 years will be determined by the books that you read, the sermons that you listen to, and the friends that you have. And he said this statement, and I think you should just seal this one in your mind. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Show me your friends, and I will show you your future. It's just so important, isn't it? Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm. We need other Christians in our life, even if we don't recognize it. And I think many times in our life we have these relationships in our life, but they're really surface-level relationships that don't help us because they're not based on a common mission, a common cause. I was thinking about the movie Saving Private Ryan. You ever seen that movie? How many people have seen that? You know, it's 20 years old now. You're telling me that this morning. 20 years old. Saving Private. How does that movie start? Do you remember it? D-Day. Bombs, gunfire, action. How does it end? These guys together that have this tight bond of friendship that'll never be broken. Why? Because they had a common mission together. They had a common cause. And many times the relationships in our life are just built on, well, our kids are friends and they like each other. They hang out together. I like to play basketball. I hang out with these people because we work together. Well, what about when they change jobs, right? What about when your kid gets new friends? What about when you tear your rotator cuff and you can't play ball anymore? You know what I mean? You need something deep and abiding to have in common. And that's the gospel. That's this Christian journey that we're all on. We're all walking with each other on the Christian journey. And we want to see our friends through to the end, right? Because it gets hard. Life is hard. And some of you here are runners, right? And there's a certain point. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Paul. There's a certain point where you're running like a marathon and you just kind of hit a wall. And it's really nice, I would think, I'm not a runner, to have somebody beside you that's cheering you on and saying, you can do this. Push through that wall. You can do this. That happens for me typically, Paul, around mile 15 or so. Just kidding. I can't run 15 miles. But we need other people in our lives. We really do. And other Christians need you. That's the second point. Other Christians need you. Look in verse 22. It says, the parts of the body that seem weaker are indispensable. What I've found many times in the church is that people say, I don't have that many gifts. I don't have anything to offer. I'm a pretty new Christian. What does it say here? It says the parts of the body that seem weaker are indispensable. What does the word indispensable mean? I looked it up in Webster. It means absolutely necessary. God says if you feel weak, you are absolutely necessary to the health of the church. You are absolutely necessary. Other Christians need you. They need you. And one of the hardest things to see as a pastor is seeing people when life happens and it hits the fan and they don't know what to do, that they don't have good people around them. They don't have any Christians around them. There's only one thing that's worse than having no one or no counsel, and that's having bad counsel, right? Having somebody that doesn't have God's perspective for your life. Having a friend that isn't dealing with their own sin. Isn't dealing with their own strongholds in their life. It's like looking in a septic tank trying to find fresh water. There's none to be found. And they need a godly friend. They need somebody in their life that says, I don't have it all figured out together, but I'm trying to walk with Jesus. And I think if I'm trying to walk with Jesus, maybe I can help you too. That's what they need. Other Christians need you. And at our church, a kind of a first step into this kind of thing I'm talking about right now is really Sunday school here for us right now. And that's why we have Sunday school. So you can initiate some of these relationships with people. I'm not saying you're going to jump into a Sunday school class and you're going to find your best buddy on day one. But it can facilitate that. And I've watched that happen and I've heard your stories and heard that it's happened for you. We have a short message today, and I want to close by telling you a story, okay? About 15 years ago, I met a guy, let's call his name John. And John came to our church because he was invited by his girlfriend. And he came to one of our Christmas plays. And this is a rather large church, a church of about 1,000. And they would have these Christmas plays where it takes Jesus starts in the cradle, essentially, and makes his way to the cross. So coming down the center aisle, and one place in the play is a man all bloodied playing Jesus that's dragging a 14-foot cross that is extremely heavy. So it's very realistic. And in that moment, John realized Jesus died for me and for my sins. And there was a response time at the end of the service, and he put his faith and his trust in Jesus. 6 months later, his life got a lot worse. It's a true story. John's girlfriend broke up with him. He got his truck stolen in the same week. It's a bad week, guys. It sounded like a country song, isn't it? Poor John. And he was discouraged. He stopped coming to church. And his ex-girlfriend's mom came up to me and said, would you talk to John? I'm concerned about him. And she gave me his number. And honestly, to be honest with you, there's nothing I wanted to do less than call John. Somebody I had met one time in my life, and I felt very inadequate to do anything to help him. But you know what I did? I took out my phone. I called John. And he said, come on over. So I went over to his house, and he's in the back of his house working on a 69 Camaro. We strike up a conversation about motors and cars, and we kind of hit it off. And I invited him to come back to church and to be a part of our singles small group. And he got involved in that small group, and the small group welcomed him in just like they had always known him. I got to see John go public with his faith in baptism as his new Christian friends cheered him on. I got to talk to John about a lot of things. We talked about the Bible. We talked about theology. We talked about the broken relationship he had with his dad. We talked about a lot of things. I got to be right there as his mom was in a hospital bed and dying. And as he saw her pass away. But not before we could bring our singles pastor in there to help us share the gospel with her, and she came to know Jesus. I got to be the best man in his wedding. I've walked with him for maybe almost 15, 16 years through highs and lows. And something happened as I started to help John. He became my friend. It wasn't just, oh, me, I need to go help John. John needs my help. John started to help me. He became my dear friend. He would give me the shirt off his back right now today. There's nobody I would trust more with my children than John and his wife. And even though we moved 5 hours away 2 years ago, guess who came and visited us in the first couple weeks? Yes, our family. I love family. Family's great. But John and his wife came and visited us to let us know, although we left, they still loved us. Do you see what I'm talking about? We need other Christians, and they need us. What I'm trying to tell you is life is better together. That's God's design. And over the next year, we're going to take a journey together. And over the next year, by God's grace, we're going to love each other more. Over the next year, we're going to help each other grow. Over the next year, we're going to serve each other. And over the next year, together, as we link arm in arm, we're going to help other people in the valley say yes to Jesus. Pastor David.